lady.
My wife's just shaking her head over here.
Yeah, she's like, you a bunch of nerds.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. We are here to podcast about anything and everything Star Wars with you. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabr.kylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. And now, it's time to talk Star Wars. I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say hello.
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 All right, so today we're reviewing Chapter 5, Return of the Mandalorian, of the Book of Boba Fett. First, we're going to go through a couple... at least one listener feedback, and then we'll go into some news, and then we'll go into detailed recap. We'll talk about our question of the week, and then we'll go into thoughts and stuff. So that's what we got planned today. I do have a feedback clip, but I don't like it, so I'm just going to play a tiny bit of it. So we're going to go into feedback right away.
Feedback.
That's enough. All right, so we do have some feedback. Thank you for sending the feedback. We've got Wookie here has sent us, that's his, I assume, Jedi name, has sent us some feedback. And the first part is feedback about the show, and then he's thinking about some questions we asked on the last episode. He says, so great so far. Thought the idea of Han and Chewie showing up would be interesting. Will the two Wookiees get along? Will they fight? Who knows? And what will Han try to do to Boba Fett? Can Boba Fett recruit Han to take on the Pikes?
Good job.
He says, most importantly, when is the Mando appearing again? it seems like most people nowadays only care about the Mandalorian. They don't care about Boba Fett. And we can discuss some of that later, because I know you've read some articles and I've read some articles about the same thing. But, all right. Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think they'll even show up at all, and will they fight, the Wookiees fight, or will they get along?
The Wookiees will probably get along.
Maybe they're long lost brothers or something. I don't know. I know. Remember in it was Solo. We saw Chewbacca's family. Remember on that one planet where they were at? He rescued a bunch of Wookiees.
Yeah.
That was supposedly his wife and some other family members was one of them.
Wow, he had a wife. I forgot that.
The one that he had a long hug or something with, that was his wife, I believe.
Wow. Wookiee love.
I think Han said that at some point, so we knew that. But I've also read it other places too that that was his family. Anyway, yeah, I think it'd be a long shot if he actually does show up, but he is obviously alive during this time, because we know he doesn't get killed until the new trilogy, what he gets, that's in the second one, right? Or is it the first one he gets?
Yeah, killed? I just wonder what Han would think about the Black Wookiee.
I don't know.
That's one big Wookiee.
Well, I mean, he is a little bit bigger than Chewbacca, a tiny bit, but I mean, Wookiees are big anyway. You know, Peter Mayhew, who was inside the Chewbacca costume, he was 7'1", I think, is what I saw somewhere. And obviously they had to make the costume to fit him.
So, yeah.
Anyway, that's our feedback. When we get to the question of the week later, we've got some questions answered too. So we're going to go into news.
It's time for the news. It's time for.
Yeah, whatever. All right. The first one I've got is Lucasfilms is prioritizing their workload on Star Wars. They've had a couple other projects going on in the past with other types of movies, and they've got their hands full with Star Wars right now, and they are actually producing, like I was telling you, they're producing the Indiana Jones movie too. And I think the Indiana Jones movie is done. They just haven't,
Yeah, I thought it was already in the can.
Yeah, I think it's done too. So I think that's part of the reason why they're saying, okay, we're going to focus on Star Wars from now on. This article is from StarWarsNews.net, and they say that Lucasfilms will not do any more Indiana Jones movies. If there's going to be more movies, another company's going to have to do them, probably a Disney company, but another company that's not Lucasfilms. So, I mean, what do you think about that? To me, that sounds exciting because that means there's going to be more focus on Star Wars stuff that we're interested in.
I don't think they can go anywhere else with Indiana Jones. He's pretty much aged out.
Yeah, I know. And I think the new one is supposed to be introducing that replacement for him, the young Indiana Jones guy, but I don't know. I haven't read a lot about it. The hope was always that someone else would take over Indiana Jones and they'd make more movies. But to me, I don't know. Without Harrison Ford, I don't know if it's going to be any good.
No. And I think it's right that they need to focus on Star Wars. I mean, all the stuff, that I watch on Disney Plus, it's just, I didn't know it was out there until I got Disney Plus.
And a lot of people are that way. I mean, some of the stuff Disney had other places and they are now bringing it all in. The Clone Wars and the Rebels and stuff have always been on Disney Plus exclusively. Some of those cartoons, like the droids cartoons, those were on different places and a couple of them. Anyway, Disney Plus is, for me, is a must. It's, if I want to be a Star Wars fan, I have to have Disney Plus, I think. So,
yeah.
So the next article talks about possibly our series Book of Boba Fett might introduce the Knights of Ren, because in Star Wars history, and some of it's not canon, but in history, the Knights of Ren were also commissioned by Crimson Dawn. And they did a lot of their fighting for Crimson Dawn, and they were very brutal in their fighting. If you remember in the movie that we saw them in briefly, they had some pretty wicked weapons. And they were force sensitive. So they could do force things, but not very much, like Kylo Ren. Kylo was not the founder of the organization. He came in later. And he took the Ren name from this group. Let's see, I'm trying to see. and it talks other, it talks more about Crimson Dawn, and we, you know, have talked about, you know, who's behind this, the spikes or whatever, the pikes. Yeah, that's what they're called, the pikes. And after, what's his name? I just saw his name on here a second ago. Darth Maul was killed by Obi-Wan Kenobi, that we saw in cartoons, actually, but we saw it. It was talked about in other movies. But you know, we saw it in one of the movies where Obi-Wan cut him in half, and then he added some robotic feet or whatever, legs.
Yeah, he went to that dark pit and somehow became a spider.
Yeah. Exactly. So after Maul was killed, Kira took over, the person we saw that was in the Solo movie. She took over complete control of Crimson Dawn. And that's when she employed the Knights of Ren as her chief enforcement group, I guess. Her main goal when she took over was to destroy all the other syndicates, you know, crime syndicates, so that she could be the number one crime syndicate in the galaxy. Like I said, and they were pretty brutal, the Knights of Ren were. So if the Knights, or if the Pikes are being controlled by Crimson Dawn, there's a chance, according to this article, that we could see them in the Book of Boba Fett, which you and I know we only have 2 episodes left for this season. And we don't even know if this is the only season or if they're going to do more. What does that sound like to you?
I don't want it to be them against Boba Fett.
They would be tough to battle, and we know they survived because they were in the later Star Wars movies, which is you know, in the future.
I'd rather them show up and be for Boba Fett to get the, you know, be on their team.
Yeah, and maybe that's the twist. Kira sends them in to, or lets them help Boba Fett because she doesn't want the Pikes ruling the spice trade in the area. Maybe that happens. That could be the twist that we see. There's lots of rumors, especially this one, that talk about that Kira is going to be part of the show. She's at least been cast to be in some Star Wars show. They just haven't announced what show it is. Okay, so the next news article that I got is about the N1 Starfighter that the Mandalorian built on our show this week, and how that is a Easter egg, you know, sorts of that ship was in the Phantom Menace, and that was a one of the ships that was guarding or defending, I don't know, guarding is better, their security forces for the Queen of Naboo. And they were, like Naboo. they said in the show, they were hand-built by the Royal Guard. Let's see, it says here, handmade by Royal Guard and commissioned personally by the Queen of Naboo. Either way, yeah. So the ship has to be at least 41 years old, is what it says in here. That was a long time ago.
When Annie was just a little boy.
You know, just for fun, the concept of the ship was drawn by a guy named Douglas Chang. 1999. It was in the prequels a couple times. We saw him a lot of times in Clone Wars because, you know, we know that Anakin was dating Padme, so she was in Clone Wars quite a bit. I think she was in Rebels a little bit too, if I remember. Yeah, I think she was because she was there when Thrawn was there, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Run away, Seer.
Yeah, and that, you know, if you want to, we can talk about some of the other things related to that ship. You know, like it when he was flying it.
It's souped up. Has to be. Like a supercharger on it. Has to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty fast and everything, but
I don't see how he took it into space with the holes. I don't know if the breathing holes or he needs more panels, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he needs panels, but all the panels really do is protect it from debris and stuff and maybe make it a little more aerodynamic, I guess. Me personally, I don't know if I would say it's hyperdrive has a hyperdrive on it so we could go and, jump in space or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if I would do that without some panels on there because I don't know. You know, we're not in that time, so we don't know what it's like, but it just seems a little dangerous, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And you remember when he was test flying it, he went through that canyon and stuff.
Yep, went through what was that, Beggar's Canyon or something like that?
Yeah, that was the same canyon that Anakin flew.
Yeah, the pod races.
Yeah, exactly. Same canyon, and then before he went into the canyon, there was those.
The pillars.
Rock formation pillars.
Yeah.
Those are in there too and all that.
And if you look, it was too fast, but if you look at, you slowed it down, you could see the ramp and he went up and the gate still hadn't been rebuilt.
I didn't even notice that. That was a good catch. I didn't even notice that. I didn't even think about it when I first watched it the first time that it was, where Anakin was. I thought it looked familiar, but I didn't know. So let's just wrap that up.
It's time
for no more news. all right, so we're gonna do.
No Mando flute.
No. I need to get what? One, don't I?
You have no starting music, dude. Come on.
Yeah. So we're going to do a wands and then spoiler alert, and then we'll start talking about the episode scene by scene. How about that?
Oh, okay. I'll just shut up.
We are proud to welcome our latest sponsor, Wands Cantina, where every first week of the month on the standard galactic calendar, we celebrate with ancients call Cinco de Mayo. Come join us at Juan's for the food, mariachi music, and 34 flavors of margaritas. That's Juan's Cantina right next to the Hangar 94 of Mos Eisley Spaceport. On day two of the week is Taco Tuesday. All tacos are half a credit each and enjoy with our house margaritas. Juan's Cantina also serves the galactically famous Dos Camarones Azul Cerveza. Imported directly from Kessel. Thank you again for our latest sponsor, Juan's Cantina. Spoiler alert. Danger, you are about to be spoiled. This is your spoiler alert. We are about to talk candidly and explicitly about some TV shows or movies. If you have not watched them, please fast forward to the appropriate section. You will not be warned again because you will be spoiled.
Man, right. I don't want to be soiled.
Spoiled. Spoiled.
Oh,
spoiled.
Spoiled. I thought you said soiled.
No. All right, so let's get into it. So the first scene is called The Fight of Abitori. And I looked up that word, and Abitori is basically a UK word for slaughterhouse. Anyway, so this is the slaughterhouse scene that we see where I guess the first thing we see is Mando walks through the curtain thing into the...
You know it was Mando from even before he walked through because of the spear.
Yeah, and the silhouette and everything.
The shadow of the spear. But before he walked through too, or as he stepped through, it was Mando music.
Yeah.
I nearly lost it.
Yeah, they played that song. And we see, once he starts walking in, we see these weird Klatoon butchers is what they're called. Cutting up flesh, and then there was a bunch of animals hanging up there. I mean, I can only assume they're some sort of cow, it looked like, but who knows what kind of animal they were, in Star Wars that they were cutting up. And he walks around this meat market and sees all these Klatoon people. And, for me, I kind of thought those, if you look at their faces, I kind of thought they were like dogs almost.
Yeah, dogfish.
Exactly. He eventually makes his way to an office that's in another room, looking for Cabba Bays. And I looked that guy up too. And he, as far as I could tell, he has only appeared in our show, The Book of Boba Fett, featuring The Mandalorian. So he is not somebody that we know in Star Wars history. He comes in and says he's looking for him. And the guy says, hey, the guy he's talking to says, hey, how do you know he's here? And he shows his little key fob.
Where did he get that?
Tracking fob?
Where did he get that?
The tracking fob?
Yeah. He didn't have it.
It was in his belt.
In his old show. Did he have it? Or has he since picked it up?
He since picked it up. So usually when they get a bounty job, they get a tracking fob so they can find the person. Usually they're doing a bounty because that person is easily gets away. So we're to believe in Star Wars that everybody has some sort of tracking chip in them. If they're registered, they have a tracking chip. So, that's our old Nazi kind of stuff. All right, so he's talking to this guy, and he shows his tracking fob, and the guy says, I don't know who that is. And Mando pulls out a little holo thing, shows him a picture of the guy, and he says, this looks like you.
Because the piercings gave him away.
Exactly. The hologram image. They start to fight, and the Mando gives the guards that are in the room an opportunity to leave.
Yeah.
And this Cabba Bays
so
guy.
Nice.
Yeah, he says, you guys can leave. I'm gonna take your boss in. The Cabba Bays says they're not leaving. And we get into a fight, big fight.
The dude bit him.
Bang, bang, boom. And
the dude bit him.
He bit him in the hand. And not long after that,
in the
hand. He's probably got he needs to get a tetanus shot.
I know. That's for lunch. Mando hand.
Not long after he gets bit, he pulls out the Darksaber. And we see the Darksaber for the first time again. And he starts using that to win the battle.
All right, I'm going to say this right now. He attempts to use it.
Yes. He's not very good at it. We can see that he's not very good. And we find out, obviously, later that he's fighting the sword. But he stabs a couple of people. He cuts, I think, one guy's hand off with the saber. And he finally
pulls it out of that one guy. Then he injures himself in the leg.
Yeah, he pulls it out.
He draws it out.
And cuts himself on the leg pretty badly, it looks like. I mean, we could see muscle and stuff there. And then he, you know, they're shooting blasters at him. And of course, he's got, you know, the armor that repels the blaster shots and everything. So he's not getting hurt by that. I think at least one of them hit him, though. I think I saw one of the shots actually hit him, and he was injured, like in the shoulder, maybe. Yeah. Anyway,
and it pissed him off.
Yeah, the Cabo Bays guy is basically the only one left, and he starts shooting at him. And Mando turns around and he stabs him with a knife that the guy tries to shove at him or something, right?
Yeah.
And then he
the other guy's had that he had taken.
There you go. That's what it was. It was another guy. And he picks him up and throws him on the table and cuts him in half.
With the dark saber.
Exactly. Let's see. Did we miss anything? So yeah, so he does that, and then we pan out to the outer
room.
And we see all the butchers kind of gathered around, and you know, because there's a fight going on, they're kind of afraid to go in.
They're like, "What the hell?"
And we see in the shadows, we see the Mando with his sword, and they see him slice him again. That's when he's cutting his head off, I would assume. And he comes out in a bag with a bag. And what does he say to those guys when he comes out?
He says, I don't have a quarrel with you. If you let me pass, sir, all these credits back on that table.
Yeah,
and go take what you think your boss is due to you. Due to you from your boss.
Exactly. And you know, when we saw Mando in there with that. In that room, that table was pretty much full of credits. It was a lot.
I think then he offered it to Mando to walk away.
Yeah, he offered him a bribe. He
waved his hand over it and said, "Do you see something you like?" or something like that. He offered the credits to Mando.
He did at least once. He did. I mean, he didn't really say it specifically, but no, he kind of hinted at it.
It was, I don't know the word. I can't think of the word now.
Fine. And so they all obviously run in and try to get some money and let him go. And we see Djarin limping on his way out. From his wound.
When nobody's around, he's limping and he's wincing. But when somebody's around, he sucks it up because he can't be seen as hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's the part of his persona, right? You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then we see. He gets, what does it say? He's walking down the streets of this ring world planet that is actually interesting. It's just an entire ring and it's got, you know, buildings built on it.
Did it have it on the outside and on the inside?
I think so.
you know, that's later on where we see them on the inside of the structure.
Yeah.
But there is stuff on the outside, or yeah, on the inside that I saw, but I think almost all the shots we saw were on the inside, but later on when they were leaving the planter or whatever, I think we saw on the outside too.
That whole shot, that was one shot, that was one take, or one continuous shot, like 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
Very cool.
That was incredible. That was incredible film work.
It was a neat shot, and
because he got to the elevator, got in, and when and you had the pan in the back of the elevator, and then when he got out, there's a whole other set that they had to roll in or something for the party.
Exactly, and there's a party there. And that guy he rode up in the elevator with was what they call a castadag, and that is a new species that we've never seen in Star Wars either. It's a what does it say? It says it's like a fish type of almost.
Yeah.
Anyway, he goes up in
like fish type.
I mean, we have a lot of fish types, but I'm not sure if the pikes are. They have those masks on all the time, so it's hard, breathing masks and stuff. So they could be a little bit. And when they took off the mask, it's possible. I don't know for sure. I might have to look them up again to be sure. I don't know. So he goes, like you said, he goes through the party and into another office where there's it looks like a group of higher up kind of people. And one, what was it, blue and green kind of thing in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And he presents the bag with the head and says, here's your bounty. He wants to know a location of something. And this guy's name is Ishi Tib. He compliments Mando on his fast work, and wants him to sit down and eat with him, have a steak. And the Mando says that he would rather keep the reward and get the bounty than sit there with him. The Ishi Tib guy warns him that he has information for him. And Mando threatens to leave and starts to walk off with the head and everything. But this Ishi guy relents and tells Mando what he wants to know, the information. So Mando leaves the head and grabs the reward that they offered. And Ishi talks about another job, and we see that Mando's not really interested in that. He kind of walks out and goes back down the turbo lift and turns on his scanners and walks through the city streets. Looking for these.
He gets to the alley and then he turns on that stuff, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like it says in here that it's a ultraviolet scanner option for his helmet. That allows him to see that symbol that's written on the buildings, telling him where to go to find, his clan. I guess what do they call it? A covert.
The coven. Coven. Yeah. Oh, coven, the coven. Just like vampire stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And that brings us to the next scene. They call the reunion, which is where Mando goes in and starts heading down some stairs. He slips a little bit, almost falls. That would be,
his takes death. Takes five steps and he slips. It's like, whoa, looks down.
Yeah, exactly. He finds the armor down a long, catwalk or something like that. And
He falls down almost as he gets to her. He has to go down a couple steps to get to where she's at. He falls down the steps, and she tells someone to tend to him, the tribe, basically, and Oz Vizsla is the guy that helps her, you know, and he sprays some stuff on it, probably some bacterial
It's back to, like the tank, but it's a concentrate.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very painful, but when he sprayed it on there, we actually hear Mando kind of sob in pain a little bit. And this Vizsla guy talks to him, and Mando apologizes for you know, causing so many deaths, but thanks him for saving him on Nevarro, which is where we had the big fight scene and everything with Moff Gideon and all that stuff. Apologizes, blah, blah, blah. Cauterizes the wound. The armorer asks about the weapon that caused the wound, and he shows her the Darksaber. And
she's all the way out there, down there looking into space.
Yeah.
Sitting there meditating with her tool. I have a question about that, too. How'd her tools get back in the cabinet if she was holding them?
I don't know. I think she got more tools. I don't know. That's a good question, though. You're right. She had them, and then she had to get them out of the cabinet.
Yeah. What's that?
I don't know.
Do you think we're going to miss that kind of crap? No.
That was a mistake, almost. Yeah. I think you're right. So she looks at the Darksaber. She has the Vizsla guy bring her the Darksaber. She looks at it. And then we get a tiny flashback of the massacre of Mandalore. We see, like, you know, buildings getting blown up and
Terminator.
Yeah, it looks like Terminator. We see those bombs that they drop. It says here that those were atomic bombs or nuclear bombs. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Which we know in some of the movies they don't like to use them because they're very destructive and, you know, aren't very good for planet life and stuff like that. So we know it was a brutal attack because they used those. And they talk about, you know, the creed and how the group that the armor is a part of, that Mando's a part of, was one of the only few people that were off planet at the time.
The
they were doing their own, you know, religion or sect or something.
What word did you, they were, you know, when you're, when a judge does it, when you're in an important trial and you're the jury, they put you up in a hotel and crap.
Sequestered.
Yeah, sequestered. They are sequestered on the moon.
They were also there because they believed in different things than the majority.
Yeah.
Kind of seeking, you know, like people did on Earth when they went to the United States, before it was the United States, they wanted religious freedom. That's kind of what these guys did, is went there to do that. So they talk about that, and then they talk about that the hilt of the saber is made out of that Beskar that Mandalorians use, and the Mandalorian mentions that it's a different quality than he's ever seen, and the armorer says because that was forged hundreds and hundreds of years ago by Tar Vizsla.
1,000 years ago. Fine.
Yeah. It says a millennium, which is 1,000, isn't it?
Yeah.
Over a millennium ago. by Mandalore Tar Vizsla, which
was a Jedi. Who was a Jedi and a Mandalore?
Yeah, he was both a Mandalorian and a Jedi. The first Mandalorian and Jedi, which makes us think, is there another one that was a Jedi too? I've always wondered that because, you know, we saw a lot of that talk and explanation in Rebels and stuff like that. And they always said he was the first, but they never said, was he the only one?
Yeah.
So I've always wondered that. And maybe they're leaving that open because, you know, technically Sabine trained with the Darksaber too. Maybe she's training to be a Jedi too. We don't really know that for sure. Explains it, Tar Vizsla. And then he explains that he won the saber from a battle with Moff Gideon. And they ask if Moff Gideon, if he killed him. And the Mandalorian says no. He went to the New Republic for interrogation and to face justice for his crimes.
Let's see, there's a problem with letting him go to that because they were so, each one of them were so in upheaval of a political type that there's no way that they could come to agreement of what to do with him, probably.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody was fighting for power.
Yeah,
in that group.
Yeah, and he's a powerful guy. Moff is one of the highest rankings in the Empire you can get, and there's a couple rankings above it. Technically, Moff is not a military ranking; it's a
political
ranking, and it's like a governor or something like that. But it's more of a regional thing. So, and when I say regional, it could be a region of space. So it could be multiple planets that this person would be
like the Outer Rim or something like that.
That maybe not that big, but let's say let's pretend Mandalore had three or four planets. He might be in charge of all of those planets. That kind of region kind of thing. All right, so. Then we, Armorer asks him about that spear he's got, the Beskar spear. And he says it was gifted to him from a Jedi, because the Jedi, if we remember, it was Ahsoka gave it to him after she defeated, that one person. And, it was gifted to him because she thought it should be along with the Mandalorians because of the Beskar. And she mentions that it is a danger to, the armorer mentions it's a danger to all Mandalorians because that spear can pierce the Beskar armor that they all wear. So she wants to do something with it. And a Mandalorian tells her to use it for other Mandalorians, but he has a wish to have it done for something else done.
So but Mandalorians weapons are their religion. So yeah. You know, how can they say they don't make weapons?
And they do, but the reason that they wanted to melt that down.
I just thought it was kind of off, but you know,
yeah.
I understand that the Beskar, you know, that if it can pierce their thing, they don't really need a weapon made out of it.
I know. And, you know, maybe they'll use it to forge something else, you know, some other weapon or something too. They just don't want it to be a spear, I guess. And while she's turns on the smelter and, you know, gets her tools that we saw she had and then she didn't have, and now she's got to get them out of a cabinet. that little thing there. She gets those tools and she starts to heat it up. And Jarin asks if she knows who Bo-Katan Kryze is, who that is. You remember who Bo-Katan is, Scott? Bo-Katan is
with the blue armor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that is
that wasn't really Mandalorian.
Well, she was
from the Mighty House, right?
Right. And that is what's her name's mother?
Ahsoka.
Sabine's mother.
Sabine, yeah.
Sabine. That we see in the Rebels show. We actually see her and her whole family in there. Even her dad, I think, is one of there too. Exactly, and her brother that doesn't like her for some reason because he doesn't trust her. She calls it the Mighty House. Kryze was born of the Mighty House and lost their way, which means they were. That's why the Armorers sect moved away, because they didn't like what was going on. So he starts to melt it. They talk about the what they want it to do, and he says he wants to make something for a foundling. And the Armorer says that Grogu is no longer with him, so she's like, he's not really a foundling. And then she tells him that Jedi
get rid of
all relationships and stuff. Mandalorian says something about that's the opposite of what the Mandalorians believe. So they make, it says here specifically in the description that he wants to see her, and she melts the Beskar into a chain, a necklace of some sort.
Chainmail.
It says into a keychain is what it says here. I don't know what that means.
Chainmail.
I don't know. You can say that, but I don't believe it. I think it's a necklace of some sort.
Mm-mm, it's chainmail. I'm verifiable backing up off a guy that does the Easter egg.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. So she does that. After she does that, she's having Djarin practice with the Darksaber. And they're fighting and whatever, doing different kinds of moves and stuff. And she's fighting with her tools, which obviously are made of Beskar, so it repels the saber, because Beskar is one of the only things that this dark saber can't cut through, just like any other Jedi weapon like that. So they start fighting, and he talks about how it gets heavier the more he fights with it. And she tells him that he's fighting against the dark saber.
Use the Force, Luke. Use the Force.
Yeah, and I think that's eventually what's going to happen. And There's a couple articles that I read somewhere saying that Luke Skywalker is training people at this time to be Jedi, and he's different. His training stuff is different than what we saw in the prequel movies, where they were only training children.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't believe in that, because he knows that he became a Jedi when he was older.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that he can train people that way. So he brings in people who are older and younger, and maybe we'll see the Mandalorian get some training from Luke Skywalker on using the Darksaber. I've been seeing a lot of talk about that.
That'd be cool. Online.
Yeah, that'd be kind of neat to see. And all right, so he does that. They're fighting a little bit, and the other guy, the Vizsla guy, he challenges Djarin to a battle, so he can regain the Darksaber for his house that originally created it, you know, many years ago. And they fight, and you know, Mando is still wounded, of course, and he's limping a little bit still. So he's at a disadvantage, and of course the saber's heavy. And the guy overtakes him at one point and gets the Darksaber and tries to attack Djarin, and he realizes how heavy it is, and you know, whenever he hits something with it, he can't hardly get it out of there because it's so heavy.
He so muffs it up.
Yeah. So Mando eventually takes advantage of that and gets the upper hand on him. And knife to the throat. Yeah. He holds him at knife point, and the armorer comes in and says, "The duel's over. It's done," or whatever.
"It is done.
It is done." And then I thought it was strange that she asked this at this time.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
She asked him about removing the helmet.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
And maybe she's just trying to tell him that he because he's got the saber, he isn't necessarily going to be able to rule or be the ruler of Mandalore. Because he took his helmet off, which we know is something special to that coven.
It's not
something that most of the Mandalorians, because, you know, we saw on the Mandalorian, we saw, like you said, the girl with the blue, she took her helmet off. Bo-Katan took her helmet off.
I thought it was only that no one could see your face.
Yeah, well, that's
you had to be able to take it off to eat and crap. Yes,
right, and that's kind of what it is. So that coven believes that they can't take it off except for the eating, and they have to eat in private so nobody can see their face.
It only got taken off. He took it off. Twice,
a couple of times, more than once. Remember that one whole episode when he had it off almost the whole time
when he was fired on. Yeah. And they went to the Empire or the.
Yeah. Yeah. When he was in that cafeteria, he had to take it off to scan his face or something like that. Yeah. So we see that. And he because of that, he wins that battle. And he takes the Darksaber with him. She asks him about the helmet stuff and says he's no longer a Mandalorian. Which has got to be give, you know, the Mandalorian a bad
kick in the nuts.
Yeah, kick in the nuts. He's like, dang it. So he's basically been kicked out of that coven because they don't recognize him anymore. So he leaves, walks out.
Well, he asks how he can atone.
Oh, he does. He asks how he can atone, and they say something about waters of the caves of Mandalore.
Yeah, the truth waters or the whatever.
Yeah, yeah, here it is. It says he can only be redeemed in the living waters beneath the mines of Mandalore.
Living waters.
Yeah. And he replies.
That sounds like he's going to go get baptized.
Exactly. That's kind of what it sounds like. And he exclaims that those were destroyed. And maybe he doesn't know for sure because he just knows stories he's heard. He's never been to Mandalore, so he doesn't know if they've been destroyed himself. So maybe
that's going to be in the back of his mind.
Yeah, maybe he's going to make a trip to Mandalore at some point. Who knows? So then he goes to the docking port and gets on a flight 1020, it says, to nonstop to Tatooine. And a droid stops him and says there's no weapons permitted on flight. So we see him complains about it. It's my religion. Yeah, he complains about it. He says it's my religion. But eventually he relents and you know, takes a chit for the baggage and puts all his stuff in the bag, including the Darksaber.
Which I thought,
yeah,
he's gonna make it to Tatooine.
Yeah, he should have kept it. I would have. I mean, that's something big deal. And it talks about here about all the stuff he has. He has blaster pistol, whistling birds, which are
those little things
that come out of his wrist thing, bandoliers, pliers, and the Darksaber. And he warns the droid that everything better be there when he lands. He knows exactly what's in there. And we see him sit next to a kid on the flight. The
kid's in front of him, turns around on the back of his seat.
Yeah.
And it's like aww.
It's one of those Rodidians that we saw Boba Fett was tied up next to. This is a little kid of that type. Yeah, and the mother tells him to leave him alone.
We need to talk about the armor put the chain or whatever the gift is, how she wrapped it.
Yes, tied it up in a little bow.
Tied it up into a little bow, and it looks like Grogu.
Yeah, and here it mentions that again.
And they called it, I saw somewhere it said they called it, when he looked at it on the flight, he brought out the doll. I'm going like, there's no doll. What are they talking about? It's just a bag.
Yeah. Yeah, and it says here, when they describe it, it says, Djarin looks at the cloth containing Grogu's necklace. And they leave the spaceport, fly out, and that's when you get another scene of the ring planet thing. And he lands and claims his weapons afterwards. Everything's there, as far as we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to a scene where we see Pelimoto, which is Amy Sedaris is who that is. She's in the hangar, the repair hangar that the Mandalorian went to earlier, and she's chasing down a womp rat is what they call it. The rat is actually pretty big, I guess, and it gets a hold of her and starts attacking her and stuff.
What was that? What was that droid that he took? B9, not
BD?
What was that droid? BD? Yeah, BD. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a new droid that we've seen on the show, but it has a history in the games. And I forget what the name of the game is, but there's Cal Kinetis. Kess is the guy's name that's the Jedi in there. And it's one of the droids that he pals around with is a BD. Called BD-1. So this is the same type of droid. It may not be the exact one, but it's the same type of droid that's in that game. But that I don't know. That's the first time I've seen one of those, isn't it? It's the first time you've seen one, Scott?
I think it might have been... could have been in Solo, I thought.
That was the other one. That was the one that had the megaphone as the head.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
What was that one called? I've actually got it back here on the wall somewhere. Not that matters. right now, but I can't find it. He's up here somewhere. I've got a Funko Pop of him. Anyway, so then we see as the Womp Rat is attacking Pelly. You know, the droids are kind of scurrying away because they're afraid of it. And then something blasts at the Womp Rat and kills it. And she says, "What a great entrance." And that's when we see Mando
again. Hey, everybody. Mando's here. Oh, Mando's back.
All the droids
kind of just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
They just wander off. Don't care. He don't like us, so we don't like him.
He asks about him coming to slay a dragon. And he says, no, he got the message about having a replacement for the Razor Crest. Because we know in the end of the show last season, it got destroyed, right?
Yeah.
The Empire shot it down when they were trying to get to Grogu while he was sitting on the whatever thing, doing his Jedi thing.
He got foobarred.
Exactly. All right, so she tells him she's got something else. He gives the money, and she hands it off to one of the droids after she's counted some of it. And then she asks where Grogu is, and he says that he's with his own kind now, and she mentions something about opening up a petting zoo for that thing. She can make lots of money off of it. And then she leads him to a hangar area where something that's under a tarp, and she removes the tarp, and we see our N1 starfighter in very, very bad shape. Hardly any parts on it. Dejarin asks, where's the Razor Crest? And she clarifies.
I didn't say I had a Razor Crest.
Exactly. She didn't say it. He's disappointed about the condition. Starts to walk away. And she tells him, wait a minute, this is an N1 starfighter. Mm-hmm. Handmade by the Royal Guard of Naboo. Personally commissioned by Queen of Naboo, blah, 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 you know, and he still thinks it's a piece of junk and asks for his money back. And she tells the droids to go get it. And then starts to talk to him more about the ship and convince him that she's got all kinds of parts for it. And this is old enough that it's off the grid or something like that. What else? It can jump into hyperspace without a docking ring, which is, I don't know what that means, but docking ring, I guess, is required for hyperspace. I don't know what that means.
In the smaller ship, like the Jedi ship, you know, that they flew, they had to have a docking ring. I don't know whether it's just for stabilization or what.
He talks about it's one of the fastest ships in the Outer Rim territories. She's got, you know, a power assimilator from the Jawas, which, you know, as you talked about, was that big souped up horsepower thing. It looks like a big, a breather apparatus that you see on a car nowadays, you know, an old fashioned car. We don't have sea cars.
An air intake.
Yeah, air intake manifold. And there's more there too. It looks like maybe the carburetor type of device is attached to it too.
Yeah.
What I saw. Power simulator, blah, blah, blah. And she talks about the Jawas providing her parts. She gave them a list of parts and stuff, and they bring this big, long type of device. It doesn't say what it's called in here. But we've seen it before. It's that big, long hyperdrive. What'd you call it? It's more like a drive shaft almost, right?
Yeah.
But we saw it in the first movie, New Hope, when they were stuck in the trash compactor.
Trash bin. Yeah.
That's what they used to prop up there, which didn't help much, but it
didn't help much at all.
And I saw something else that it was actually seen in the comic, or not the comics, the animated stuff. It was in a stacked up against the wall somewhere in one of the scenes. Same thing.
Oh, wow.
The Jawas, he's like, where does the Jawa get something like that? That thing's not very easily accessible. And she says they clipped it off of somebody getting gas at the station.
The pikes. They took it off the pikes.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, that he's like, oh my gosh, that's dangerous. You know, those guys mean business and whatever. And
she says, hell yeah.
These guys don't mess around. The Jawas don't care. They just go and grab it when nobody's looking. And we've seen that. That's what happened to Boba Fett, you know. They're the ones that stole his uniform or his armor and stuff.
Yeah.
That he's looking for and doesn't remember that someone stole it off of him. We see all that. They bring some more parts. They're working on it.
BD droid working on it
is showing the flashlight stuff and shows them where parts go and stuff like that. We see that. And then
he's coming around to like droids.
Yeah, we think she says that too. She Peli says that too, that maybe he's starting to warm up to droids a little bit. But he asks about the droid port in the ship, and she says that she took that out because she knows his aversion to droids also.
But that just makes it that when they push it out and it's all shiny and crap.
Yeah. Still there, the dome part's there, which
a seat for Grogu.
Exactly. I saw some people do up some sort of Photoshop of Grogu in that spot while he was flying it. It's actually pretty cool looking. And I'm sure that's what's going to happen. So then he goes on a test flight. They push it out and he takes off kind of thing. It doesn't start right away. He has to push it a couple times. She says to give it more juice. That's what she says. Mm-hmm. And I sent you a little thing on that. So that power button that he pushes is the same power button that Anakin was pushing on his little racer. It's the same exact button. And the lights light up. It goes up higher as it gets more juice. That's the same exact button sequence that was on Anakin's thing too. When you compare the two of them, they look almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
So they push it out. It's starts finally. Sounds really rough to me. What about you? I don't know.
She said it was smooth, purring like a kitten.
Yes, purring like a kitten, she says. I don't know. I would have been afraid of it the way it was sounding, but it eventually calms down. They push it out, he takes off, and he goes flying around Tatooine, and we talked about where we were talking about the fighter before, where he flies through the canyon and goes out into space and flies around a big freighter ship, a big passenger liner ship, and we see it looks like same the same kid. Yeah. Looks like the same kid, doesn't it? I'm sure it is. Yeah, the kid's leaving or whatever. Yeah. Up against the window, and he's out there. He waves. He nods at it, actually.
He nods at him.
Yeah, and then he takes off and zooms around a little bit and does all kinds of flips and stuff.
Bad boy. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
What's he say? He says, dang something. What's that?
Yeah, Dang Fan or something like that.
Dang Finnegan. Yeah, that's it. Dang Fang. And I looked that up. That's a a slang of a way to express excitement, or it could be used as a curse word, it says too. And then he gets basically pulled over by the New Republic patrol out there, patrolling the atmosphere or whatever.
You can't be flying that fast around freighters.
Yeah, and I didn't hear it at first, but if you listen when right before that, he gets like a beeping noise in his sound stuff, and that's basically they sent him a thing saying, "Hey, you've been flagged or whatever," so he has to stop and talk to them. And a little thing about that. So the one guy that we see at the end of the talking has got the beard. He was in The Mandalorian also. And he talks to him
about asking him about the Razor Crest.
Yeah, the Razor Crest and stuff. Mando says, "Oh, you've got the wrong guy." The other thing was the first guy that was arresting him, the younger looking guy, that is the same actor that stood in for Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And
he's going to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Do it again. He's
that's a rumor. I've heard it.
He's supposedly sitting in and for the Mandalorian, at least, maybe for Boba Fett. But also I can see him maybe showing up. No, he wouldn't show up in the Kenobi show because Kenobi doesn't meet him until later in life. But we see him as a kid. He's going to be watching over Luke with his uncle. Anyway, so they pull him over. He says he's got the wrong guy. They interrogate him some about care. He's going to take care of the licenses and updating the registration and all that. And the guy asks him about the Navarro again. And was he there with a skirmish there? And there's silence. And Djarin pushes the superpower button that Peli hooked up. And it launches him off into out of nowhere. And they said, "Well, we can't track this guy. He's too far away now." And he doesn't have a... He's not registered, right? So they're like, "Oh, we don't want to do all the paperwork, so we're just going to let him go."
Yeah.
So they call those sublight thrusters, is what that jolt thing does. Is it's sublight thrusters, which is faster than normal thrusters. And he lands back at the hangar. Is impressed with his ship because it handles wizard. Really well. He says wizard, I looked that up too. And that's supposed to be slang for like cool, or it's awesome or something like that. It sounds like that's something I need to start using now on. Hey, that's wizard.
It was said in when Annie's friend said it. When they were doing pod racing.
Yeah, you're right. It was said something around then too. Yeah, the one that was helping him, I think, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
After they started it up. So when he lands, Wizard is said, like you said, he likes the performance and is pleased. He wants to... She tells him that an old friend dropped by, and she didn't trust that person, so she turned on the hangar security and locked up all the doors. And Djarin asks who it was, and we hear in the background Finnick saying that it was her.
Yep.
And Peli is surprised. She yells at her droids for about the security system. And she climbs down into there and begins talking to the Mandalorian. And she asks him if he is willing to take a job. And she's got a bag of credits that she gives him and says, he asks what the bounty's for. And she says, not a bounty. Boba Fett just wants some muscle. So we see that Boba Fett's going to hire the Mandalorian as some of his muscle. And he says that he doesn't want the credits. It's on the house. But first he has to go visit a little friend.
I need to go see my little friend.
And
almost a Godfather statement, but
yeah,
you know, it's not a weapon. Well, Grogu could be a weapon.
Could be. But that's when the credits rolls, right after he says that.
Yep.
All right. So it was a pretty good episode, I thought.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was better than we've seen in a while. So we're gonna.
This is the best episode of Mandalorian, but the worst episode of Boba Fett.
Boba Fett wasn't in it at all.
Yeah. No.
A lot of people are saying that, and there's a lot of people that aren't very happy about the Book of Boba Fett. Anyway, there's those who complain about too many flashbacks, which I get that. I don't like flashbacks either, but. These flashbacks are pretty interesting because we get to learn about, you know, the past.
I know the backstory if you haven't watched, you know.
Well, yeah, and a lot of that flashback stuff is stuff we've never seen before. You know, all that Tusken Raiders and him escaping, all that stuff's brand new. Never seen before. So we're going to go into the question of the week. And the first thing I'm going to do is just talk about our past questions that we've put out there. So let me see here. We've got some more questions answered. So one of the questions we asked, I think it was back, yeah, in chapter one, was, do you think that Boba Fett takes off his helmet too much? And I have answers that say no, keeps the mystery. Yes, it humanizes him. Just plain yes and no. And we got another response on it. And the person that responded replied with, it humanizes him, which I agree. I think it's okay. Cause I mean, you know, I don't think it's a strict rule that they keep their helmet on, in my opinion.
No, I think it's fine.
So then the question after that they answered was the one about the Vespa scooters. The question was, do you like the scooter bikes in Boba Fett Chapter 3? And their response was, no, they don't like them. We had a previous response with there's nothing wrong with the Vespas or anything like that. But this person responded, no, they didn't like them. Let's see, the next question was about the army. And we asked, where is Boba Fett going to find his army? And the response we got back was the Mandalorian, because they answered this later, so they obviously knew the Mandalorian was going to be one of them.
Yeah.
Previously, someone put mercenaries, but now we have mercenaries and Mandalorian as choices. Whoops. Wrong thing there. And the last question that we're asking is the new question for this week, and that is, what is the gift Din Djarin has made for Grogu? And you think it's chainmail, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a necklace with the bearing from the Razor Crest on it. That's what I think it is. And we had someone also answer the question on our website, and they put in his own Beskar armor, shoulder armor, is what they responded with. So tell me why you think Grogu's getting chainmail.
Somewhere, somehow, I've seen when Yoda was fighting that.
I think he might have because he got shot or something, right?
Got shot or he got hit with the lightning or something. Anyway, and he opened it up to look at himself, and it was chainmail.
Yeah, he did. But for the life of me,
I can't find it.
Yeah, and it might have been. It was such a small second kind of thing that we saw it that wasn't a big thing. It was in the Clone Wars animated show. Was it in the movie or was it in the animated? Because we saw him get into the
movie. I looked at the movie because I was asking the other day, remember, which order was it? Was the Sith one or was the one before? It was the
second
of the Phantom Menace or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it was actually where you saw that was in the animated Clone Wars, because we also see the same scene where Yoda gets into his ship and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think during the Clone Wars, he took off his jacket to see if he was injured. And that's when you saw the chainmail. I think that's probably where you saw it. I don't know. It could have been in the movie too, but if it was there, it was very small scene or something that we didn't notice. So that's what I think is, I think it's a necklace with the ball bearing. You think it's chainmail, which it could be both. You know, the shavings we saw look like either chainmail or necklace links. It could be both. They were kind of small, but so is Grogu. So who knows? We'll find out eventually, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
He's on his way to deliver it from what we saw. So that brings us to thoughts and predictions about the show. So, like I kind of said, I thought this was, of the Book of Boba Fett, this was one of the best episodes, even though it was technically a Mandalorian episode, because Boba Fett was not in it. Fennec Shand was the only person out of the Boba Fett clan that we saw.
Yep.
So
I think they worked it in to hype the season 3 of Mando.
Yeah, that's part of it too, I'm sure. But you know, he's going to be in the next couple episodes also as Muscle, right? So I'm wondering, you know, next episode we might see him actually meet Grogu a little bit, and then maybe
will Luke come?
I don't know. We'll have to see, won't we? That's what I'm wondering too.
Yeah, so next week.
That's what I'm wondering too, since he's actually with Luke training, Grogu is. So who knows? It may be. Which would be a big thing, right? That would definitely But you know, Luke's had some run-ins with Boba Fett too.
Yeah.
Boba Fett was actually tasked to find Luke Skywalker at some point. They wanted to find the person who blew up the Death Star, and that was Luke Skywalker. They also, you know, in the movies, Empire Strikes Back, I think, is where we saw Darth Vader order the bounty on Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Darth Vader was obsessed with finding Luke Skywalker too.
Han, it could be Han and Chewie.
Could be.
You know.
Could be. Maybe they're all there.
Maybe Han is visiting
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. You need more than just the big Wookiee.
And I think we'll see that he's actually hired some other people too, maybe. You know, just some random whatevers, probably. Who knows? I wanted to say before we go much further that I'd like to thank the two people who are following us on Spotify. We're now listed on Spotify, and we have two people. One of those people has listened to our Chapter 4 review. So I wanted to thank them. Do you have any other thoughts or predictions, or Easter eggs that you saw?
It's like we've already said most of them. So
yep. I mean, yep. You want me to run the outro?
Yeah.
Run it.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle John Hanson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say goodbye now.
Goodbye now.
Bye now.